Brothers and sisters, turn with me in what is a most familiar passage this time of year, Luke chapter 2. If you were here last evening, there was wonderful singing, lessons, carols, and a meditation on the shepherds. We return back to the shepherds this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 20. I should note that the theme is messengers and messages. So as we read through the text, try to identify who are the messengers, what are the messages. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we now ask that you would open this word for us, and again, we pray that we might hear the narrative afresh, that we might be able to place it in its context, not only in regards to the context of Scripture, but the context of our lives, of history, and specifically our own lives. Bless us. Give us understanding. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, this is a familiar text. It's read just about every Christmas. Even Charlie Brown's Christmas, Linus recites this wonderful text. "This is the true meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown." And yet we dare not take it out of context, do we? Luke is not writing this in order to celebrate a Christmas holiday. He's writing a history. Remember, there's two books. There's the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Like, okay, two volumes. But really one work, one narrative. in which Luke is demonstrating historically how God himself is the true ruler and king, how God himself has come among us, the Son of God, the incarnation in Jesus Christ, how he rules and reigns, and how he is accomplishing the Father's purpose, making all things new, making all things new. And accomplishing that, for most part, in these generations in which we live, accomplishing that new creation through a very simple message brought by very common people. Imagine. A powerful message, simple, but make no mistake about it. If the Holy Spirit blesses it, it's powerful to bring about a new creation. A message through very common messengers in which he's making all things new. And we ourselves this morning are but witness and a testimony, really a sign that that message continues to be powerful over how many now generations, a couple of thousand years, as that message has been proclaimed, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how it has from generation to generation transformed a people, gathered a people, united a people to their Savior. That message continues to spread and be proclaimed in very common ways, and yet that message is so profoundly powerful when the Holy Spirit decides to use it and to bring about that change. So this morning, just simply, it's Christmas morning, I recognize, and just some musings on this narrative, and to pick up an emphasis that Luke is making. And the emphasis really is here for this morning anyways. It's a rich text, but for this morning, the emphasis on messengers and their message. Messengers and their message. Now, when I read the text, when I read the narrative, did you pick up how many messengers there were? I guess I can do all the work this morning, but it is Christmas morning, and you could help me along. It's like it was a late night last night. It's Christmas. How many messengers? I count three. Of course, it's good sermonic form, isn't it? Oh, 3 points, or it'll be three messengers. But that's how it works out. It's not because I want 3 points in a perfect sermon. This certainly will not be a perfect sermon this morning. But there are three messengers. Do you find the first? Do you see the first? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Is he not a messenger in some sense, a decree? Yes, he's not the one sending it out. He's got all kinds of administrative gophers for him that go out and do this kind of thing. But he makes a decree. There is a message. He is a messenger. And whether he doesn't know it and will not acknowledge it, he really is a messenger of God. He doesn't think so. This is the Imperial Roman Emperor. It's after the Republic. I believe there was civil war. And now he has all authority. Caesar Augustus. The Republic, and they will still call it a Republic, but it's no longer a Republic. It's an empire ruled by one, Caesar Augustus. The Senate, I believe, still meets. But Caesar Augustus has all authority. Very, very powerful. And a powerful Republic, a powerful empire, the Roman Empire. It still has power today, by the way, in various narratives and symbols and the way we think and the way we talk. It's still very powerful. The empire, both the East and West, it was in the East that they tended to worship their emperors and refer to them as God. Caesar Augustus would say he's the Son of God. He would use that language similar to Jesus. He would say he is the Son of God. In the East, a little more superstitious, they tended to worship him as deity. This would be malicious over the course of the generations. For there will come a time where if Christians do not bow before Caesar, they will be put to death. So here is a very powerful man. And in the narratives and the symbols that surround him, it's very, very, it sounds very biblical. There will be much talk about good news, the gospel. That's language that will be used, Latin, Greek, Evangelion. It will be the gospel of Caesar Augustus. And he offers peace. In all of the literature, you find that. He promises peace. He promises prosperity, salvation, deliverance. If you but are loyal Roman citizens to Caesar Augustus, you will be delivered. You will have prosperity. There will be peace. All of that language surrounding Caesar Augustus. He has a message, and the message is this. A decree goes out that all the inhabited earth will be taxed. There's a census that needs to be taken for the purposes of taxation. That's the message. You'll be taxed. Go back to your original home, that a headcount can be made so that we can gather more taxes for the various building programs and military might that Rome has. That's the message. I have to say, it's a very powerful message. It goes out to all the inhabited earth. That's what Luke says. It's the empire. It goes out to all of the empire around the Mediterranean. And people, it's very disruptive. Very, very disruptive. It moves people. And of course, we read it's moving Joseph and Mary. Mary who's pregnant. They're not married yet. She's carrying child. And they reach Bethlehem, and of course you know the story, as she has the baby. No room at the inn, so they're staying in this cattle stall, whatever this is, where animals are kept, in this manger, which is a creche, this box that's filled with hay and food for the animals. The baby is laid in there. Don't miss it. There's a messenger with a message that is powerful. It moves people. And we could take away from this that there are times in our lives where there are forces at work beyond our control, and forces that do not acknowledge God, and forces that make us feel very small and insignificant, perhaps forgotten, nobodies, nothing. And yet we're moved in powerful ways by forces beyond our control. And yet the deeper story is this, that this messenger with his message and with the power to move all the inhabited earth is really by God. Caesar doesn't know this, but it's God bringing about his purposes. How else would Mary and Joseph get from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order that the prophecy might be fulfilled, that out of Bethlehem will come the ruler, the Christ? Do you see the second messenger that's given? Of course, it's obvious to us. It's what's usually focused on at Christmas. It's an angel of the Lord. Not the angel of the Lord from the Old Testament, an angel of the Lord. And you could translate angel as messenger, right? This is God's messenger. And you are invited. Luke, he's not going to give you like annotated notes on the side. There won't be footnotes. But in this narrative, he's inviting you to make the comparison and the contrast between this angel, this messenger of the Lord from heaven, and Caesar Augustus in the Imperial Empire. The Imperial Empire is powerful. It's glorious. People still go to Rome and visit the ruins, and there's still a glory in the ruins after 2,000 years. Powerful. Glorious. And yet how much more powerful and glorious is this messenger with this message from heaven? You know the message. For unto you is born this day, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news, tidings of great joy, That shall be for all people. Again, make the comparison and contrast. Caesar Augustus, the decree goes out to all the inhabited earth. And now the angel makes this proclamation to all the inhabited earth. Good news for you to all the inhabited earth. You see, this is subverting, challenging and subverting even the imperial authority of Caesar Augustus. And make no mistake about it, this is just not a historical piece just for our information. This is the gospel. Any power, any empire, anything that sets itself up with all of its glory, with all of its power, is continually subverted by heaven's messenger, by heaven's message. Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all people, the whole inhabited earth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A subverting message this is. A powerful message this is. A good message. Caesar disrupts life. In some ways, the angel disrupts life. The shepherds talk it over among themselves, and they leave their flock. Imagine shepherds leaving their flock. They were living out in the fields. We could think through that, not this morning, another time. They were living out in the fields. They go to Christ, who has been born in a manger. The text just previous talked about John the Baptist living in the desert. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have holes, the birds, nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The shepherds who are out living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock, leave their flock in order to go see what the angel has told them. Again, you see, there's a comparison and contrast. Caesar Augustus with his decree, everybody has to move. The angels hear this message from the angel. The shepherds hear this message and they move. The whole gospel will be about a move. Jesus going to Jerusalem and beyond. His disciples following him. We following him through this life, through this wilderness and beyond. Powerful message. A movement, a disruption, but with a far greater purpose. Caesar Augustus is doing this to raise taxes. You have to pay. Submit to Caesar Augustus, you'll be disrupted, and you'll have to pay. Be moved by the heavenly message and its free grace. Free grace. And there's a third messenger here. It's the shepherds themselves. Well, you have Caesar Augustus' decree. You have this angel from heaven coming with his proclamation of good news. And now you have the shepherds. Ordinary. A lot of the commentators, a lot of people say, well, why the shepherds? Why are they the privileged ones who are shrouded in that glory of God, who hear the message from heaven, from the lips of an angel, and they go and they see the Christ child born? Remember, the Magi, the wise men, it was 2 years down the road before they saw the Christ child. They did not come to the creche. Somebody has conflated all of that in our history. It's the shepherds, and they're the privileged ones. And everybody asks, well, why? And you go back into pagan literature, and there's all kinds of talk about shepherds being involved with important people and the birth of important people and everything else. And, well, no, that doesn't quite do it. Well, why the shepherds? Well, a shepherd is born. Is there not some fraternity going on here? A shepherd is born. The true shepherd has been born. In the city of David. Remember David? That illusion. We go back to David. And what was David? He was the youngest of the sons. And He wasn't the one who was chosen as king first. His brothers were far, seemed to be far more qualified, who fit the profile. David was left out in the fields to watch the flock. But he will be the king. He will be the one after God's own heart. And just as a sign, really a sign, that there will come one who will be truly, truly after God's own heart, who God loves as the apple of his eye because it's his own son. Why the shepherds? Well, some say they're poor. Well, they may not be poor. They have this flock. But they are common. They are insignificant. Living out in the fields all night, watching over their flock. Common people, common men, with a fairly lowly job. They're the ones privileged. The shepherds are first. Not Caesar Augustus. Not even the angel from heaven. Shepherds. Common people like us. And the message, you see that in verse 17, when they had seen this, the child wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. They made known the statement. So you see, they're messengers. They bring a message. What they heard the angel say, this is what they report about the child that they're now looking over. To everyone who's gathered, and apparently there's a crowd that's gathered. Look at the power of the message. When all who heard it wondered at the things that were told to them by the shepherds. Nobody wondered at Caesar Augustus' decree. They probably complained. Nobody really wondered. They knew what it was about, raising of taxes. The angels heard the message. We're not told that there was a wondering so much. It was very powerful, to be sure. But it was the simple message, a simple statement made by the shepherds that created this wonder. And those that were gathering, probably women helping out and people coming in and out. Again, this was a cattle stall. It was probably more public than we would imagine. And yeah, people are gathering. This is kind of an interesting scenario at night. And now shepherds come and they bring this message. And people are amazed. They question, they ask. But look at Mary, verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Do you think the decree of Caesar could be that powerful as to cause someone to treasure things in their heart? Even the angel's message, as powerful and as unusual as that was, supernatural as that was, did it cause the shepherds to treasure things in their heart? We're not told that. The simple message by the shepherds has this power to cause people to question, to wonder, to try to think things through. What is God about? And for some, it even within the heart, there are things that are treasured within the heart. You can say, well, this is about Mary. Yes, but if you read through the text and the emphasis of Luke again and again, it's about a message that is very familiar, a message that's common. A message that becomes too familiar as to almost lapse into insignificance, and yet it has power even in its commonality, even with all its familiarity, with the power of the Spirit, a simple common message can be quite powerful. The rich man and Lazarus. Rich man dies. Lazarus goes to be in Abraham's bosom. The rich man in this place of torment. Oh, have Lazarus come and just give me a drop of water. Can't do. Oh, have Lazarus go and warn my brothers that they might not end up in a place like this. No, can't do. They have Moses and the prophets. Even if someone were to be raised from the dead, it's not going to convince them. They have Moses and the prophets. So familiar. A message too familiar. Yet in powerful ways it can address, witness, and testify of the goodness and the grace of God. Yes, even through Moses and the prophets. The emphasis in Luke is about the message and the message being delivered in familiar, common ways. But in familiar, common ways, The wisdom of God is being revealed to you, if you have but eyes to see. The good news is being revealed fresh, if you but have ears to hear. Why is it at the end of the gospel, Jesus disguises himself as but a stranger, and he speaks of things about the Christ from Moses and the prophets? And the two disciples say, were not our hearts burning within us when he was telling us these things? They didn't recognize him as the Christ. They didn't see Jesus. He was a stranger opening the scripture to them, and their hearts burned. You're not going to get that with a decree from Caesar Augustus, from Barack Obama, or Donald Trump. Even if you were to have some vision of an angel, it may not so change the heart. It's the common, familiar message of the good news that's open to you, possibly even by a stranger, that can so penetrate the heart. Here's the message. Here's the message. From simple messengers. God accomplishes his purposes in your lives through what is so common, even common words, even a gospel narrative that's read Christmas after Christmas after Christmas. Even Linus, Charlie Brown's Christmas, is able to recite it. And yet, by the Holy Spirit's blessing, can so transform hearts and lives, penetrating the densest of ears, the most hardened of hearts. Caesar can't do that. Even an angel can't do that. A common message delivered by common people, but an uncommon word blessed by the Spirit that can so penetrate heart, mind, conscience, psyche, to the deepest recesses. God speaks there through his written word, blessed by the Spirit. How wonderful is that? You're not alone. Listen, God is speaking to you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless this word and this common message on this most familiar of holidays, Christmas, and yet so uncommon in the event of your word being proclaimed to us this day. Bless this word. May we hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,